22-year-old Hemming Hu has the table tennis world at his feet and has just been selected to represent Australia at the Rio Olympics. Hemming, welcome.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, and as I say, you've chalked up so many achievements in a relatively short career, but I imagine the selection for the Rio Olympics would be the pinnacle.
Absolutely, yeah. This is the pinnacle of the sport, and it's been a childhood dream for me. Been a long time that I've had this dream to play in the Olympics, so yeah, it's such a good feeling when I finally made it.
Yeah, and of course you've competed at the Commonwealth Games, haven't you? At Glasgow in 2014.
Right. Yeah.
Now, am I right in saying that your selection is for the team events, not the individual events, or do you play individual?
No, that's for the table tennis, there's two events, the singles and then the team event.
Yeah.
So the team event is Olympic format, five matches, but so we had two qualifying tournaments, and we had Australian qualifying, Oceania qualifying, and in the Oceania qualifying, unfortunately, I finished third place out of the Australian guys, so didn't get to play singles, which was really disappointing considering I finished first in the Australian trial. So I was in the best position to get it all, but in the end fell short.
So what does that mean for Rio, that you're participating in the team event?
Yeah, that's right. I'll only be playing in the second week.
Okay. And was it that I read somewhere about the match with David Powell, your mate David Powell, and that losing in seven at one of the qualifying tournaments, was it as close as that? If you'd won that match, could you have qualified for the individual events?
Yeah, we had that. It was in the semis of the Oceania Championships, so if I had won that one, yeah, it would have been most likely I would have been playing in the singles.
So is he still a good mate of yours?
You can ask him that one, but absolutely. We do almost all of our training together, and we live so close, so it's always handy.
Would David have qualified regardless of if he'd lost to you? Would he have qualified for the individual events?
At that time, yeah. At that time,
he's been number one for a while now, hasn't he, in Australia? Would that be right?
On the world ranking, he's definitely up there. But so it's all me and him. At the time, me, him, and this other guy that's playing, Chris Yan. Yeah. At the time, it was me and him and Chris were guaranteed to be going.
Nice.
So at the time, it was all pretty even.
And it takes a bit of pressure off too, if you sort of know that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He was very relieved.
After the Rio Olympics, are Korea and China the favourites for the doubles event?
I'd actually say Germany for the teams event. Okay. I'd actually say Germany is... All of them are pretty close, like China, Germany, Korea, Japan, but I'd say Germany is probably the next best chance to take China out.
So where do you see the Australian side? Does it have any particular goals? Have you talked about where you'd sort of like to finish or think you might be finishing in the whole table there?
For this event, I'd say... Because we're playing against the absolute world's best.
Yeah.
Full-time, we're not. We're part-time, and we're sometimes playing overseas as much as we can. But, look, we'd like to be able to win some matches, but especially world-class player William Hensel's not there anymore. So, for us, the goal is just to win. Any match is a win. If we lose, this is sort of normal.
Yeah. We're not professionals. So how many teams will be there, or how many countries are going to be competing at the Olympics?
I think there's going to be a lot of countries. I don't know the amount that's playing in singles, but the teams, there's 16 men, 16 women teams.
So you've done well, really, if you consider that, to be in that top 16 group to get to play. That's a great effort anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. This is like a gold medal.
I tried to be there, It's I was just looking back in the history, this is almost like a Michael Voss one here. Sydney 2000, of course, the best finish was in the two Australian women in the doubles who got the fifth out of 34 sides, which was Shirley Zhu and Miao Miao, I think it's how it's pronounced.
I think so.
And so that's the best ever. It was then, home ground advantage and all that sort of stuff. So it just shows you how tough it is in that level of competition when your best ever is fifth in the doubles. At a home Olympics.
Yeah, it's very tough. Well, as Hemming alluded to, I mean, the top table tennis playing nations, those guys are professionals, aren't they? Train probably, six or seven hours a day.
playing all the competitions.
Whereas when I was talking to Hemming and we were trying to organise this interview, Hemming was just finishing his exams.
Yeah.
So it makes it a bit difficult to compete with those guys. But so you head off to Rio, Hemming, and are you going to be there regardless of results and that sort of thing for the duration?
Yeah, look, we leave for Chile for a training camp on the 27th of July. We're there for about a week, and then the games will start on the 5th of August. So we'll be there. Yeah, I'll be there the whole time, the start of the singles, the start of every event until the end of the games. So.
And have you've packed your insect repellent already? Tropical stink?
Zika.
Yeah, something like that. So we have.
Does that worry you at all?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Worries me a lot, actually, because you can be all prepared and something can still happen.
Yeah.
But it's just the way it is.
Wow.
So what does your training regime look like, in the lead up to the Olympics? You mentioned that the tournament in Chile, but are you doing anything special now that you wouldn't normally be doing in the lead up?
Oh, well, now that exams are finished, yeah, but generally, no, we're not. We're given limited funding, almost no funding, actually, so to play the Olympics, this is our preparation at the moment is... At the moment, it's okay. I'm still trying to get in twice a day with players like David, Dominic Huang, young one. Trying to get in young sessions.
Is there any leading tournaments to the Olympics or any lead-up tournaments?
We have the Mornington one tomorrow, so that'll be a good one. We have the national top 10 in July, mid-July, and then the Victorian Open straight after. So some good chances to get match ready for the Olympics.
Are you? Your home club, if you like, is Dandenong. That's where you're doing your table tennis. Yes.
Actually, no. Actually, I'm doing most of my training in Keysborough Table Tennis.
Oh,
Center,
okay.
And Croydon Table Tennis, actually.
Yep.
So. Yeah.
So, just wondering how the facilities at places like those two places compare to the Mornington one, which is just a new one, and of course Greg's very proud of it all.
Mm.
How do those facilities compare?
I think they're actually very similar. They're all very nice. New tables, Terraflex, conditions are all perfect. But if Mornington was closer, I'd definitely be gone hitting there a lot.
A bit more often.
Yeah, they've done a good job there, haven't they?
They've done a fantastic job.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the tournament.
And the facilities in an actual competition, you talked about the Commonwealth Games. Mm-hmm. Is that another step up in terms of the facilities provided there?
I think it's better, but I don't think it's a step up. Like most of the stuff you see, if it's new floors, new tables, it's all pretty much what it is.
Sure.
Big space.
Okay.
And Hemming, William Hensel was for so long a name synonymous with Australian table tennis. He has retired from international competition now, though, has he?
Yeah, I think he's retired full stop. He's been consumed by... he's doing uni now, his master's, and he's working full time at the same time, and he's a busy guy, so, yeah, he's been... He's the talk of it all. He's a superstar for years. Round of 32 or 16 at the Olympics and chance to go further.
Mm.
Commonwealth Games silver medal. So hats off to him.
Pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. And very good.
And am I right in saying that he was one of the few Australian table tennis players that for a time was playing professionally?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think he was played for a long time and he was getting pretty much one of the only few that were really making a living out of table tennis overseas.
And can you see yourself playing professionally at any point in time, or is table tennis always going to have to fit in with study and work commitments and that sort of thing?
I think both. I think more on the side of it's going to have to fit in with study and work and stuff. But look, after the Rio Olympics, I go straight to Bremen in Germany. So I've signed a full season with a team there. So I'm going to have good training and, getting a good contract there, having it's almost pretty much like a professional setting.
So let's talk a little bit about that. What's it like? Is it a television sport? You'd normally get television so they get enough money to support the players.
In Europe, you mean?
And in Europe. And do you move around about a bit? How many months does it go for? What do you know about that little circuit there?
Last season, before the Olympic qualifying, I was actually spent almost a full season in Sweden.
Okay.
So I know a bit about that part. But I know in Europe, the powerhouses are obviously Germany, France, Austria, those sort of countries. So they're obviously more professional, even if there's countries like Sweden and Denmark are. But they're all the good players are full-time. you know, offered proper contracts, you know, all this sort of stuff. So,
so a top player, what might they be offered on their contract? Not talking about you and Jeremy next year, I'm saying the top players, what are they likely to be receiving?
I think the absolute top players like Ovcharov or Timo Boll will be getting around $1 million.
Wow.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? So there is money in it at the highest levels.
You do it for a free cup of tea, Greg.
Exactly. But and look, I mentioned earlier that you'd achieved so much in a relatively short career. But having said that, you've played for quite a long time. And is it right that you started off in the garage at home at about 7 years of age?
Yeah, that's right. I started with my family. My brother started and got us in. I could barely see above the table, actually, and it started from there and then went on further.
And when did you start playing competitively?
Probably started playing tournaments and competitively when I was around 10 or 11, 12.
Okay. Yeah. 'Cause as I said earlier, and I'll just read this out, if I may, because Hemming had such a fantastic junior career. You were crowned the under-13 Australian singles champion in 2007, won the under-15 title in the same year, and then again in 08 and 09, under-18 Australian champion 2010, under-21 champion 14 and 15. So it's an amazing record, isn't it? But even though you've blitzed all comers in the junior ranks and now find yourself with a senior ranking of... What is your senior ranking in Australia now?
At the moment, it's 4 or 5. I'm not sure which one it is, but yeah.
You find yourself ranked 354 in the world?
Yep.
Yep. So I guess the question is, does it frustrate you and make you wonder what more you have to do to be up there with the best?
Not really, because I know what I have to do to be up there with the best.
Yeah.
I know in previous years I've had a lot of psychological, you know, things. Like I've always choked a lot of matches and I've always had things to work on. I always know what it is I have to do to get better.
Yeah.
So it's clear in my head what I have to do when I go away, what I need to work on, what needs to keep going.
Best player you've played against so far, or highest ranked player, who would that be?
Ooh. I think it'd be hard to say. It'd be someone that's in the top 20. I've played a 2 or 3
in the top 20.
Yeah.
In the world, top 20 in the world. Yeah.
And what's the difference in their game to say the Australian game?
I think there's not any like difference with the way they play. It's more they're sharper, they're quicker, they make better decisions.
That speed and decision making are two key things.
Yeah. And they're a lot of serving and returning much better.
Okay.
More experience, know where their placement's better.
Yep.
Everything like that is much better.
Yeah. Now, one other question for me, Greg. Represented Australia at World Championships a couple of times. Whereabouts were they held?
So I started representing the senior team of World Championships at about 2014 was in Japan.
Yep.
So it's weird, they have one year it's World Team Championships.
Yep.
The next year is World Individual. So 2015 was in China, in Suzhou. 2016, this year, was in Malaysia.
So that's pretty good experience to get to travel to those three countries.
Yeah, absolutely. And yep. we go as a team,
yep.
play all the matches, get good experience learning.
And who's the Australian coach at the moment?
Jens Lang. He's coaching the Australian team at the moment.
And he was a good professional player in Europe, wasn't he, in his day?
Yeah, he was in... He's a German, so
he
was playing in Germany.
Yeah. And getting back to the Australian rankings for a moment, I noticed that they're dominated pretty much by players from Victoria and New South Wales. Is there a reason for that?
No real reason. I think the general training structure and the organisation is better in New South Wales and Victoria than it is in other states. I think generally they make more players than the other states as well.
And table tennis, I guess it's we can't get away from the fact that it's very much a minor sport here in Australia. Do you think it's in decline, or do you think and see evidence of it actually having a brighter future?
I think it's getting better, but it's always going to be tough. It's always not. There's so much spin involved in the sport, and there's a lot that people don't understand when they watch. There's no one really explaining exactly what's going on. You really have to be able to play it to know what's going on. So it's not like basketball or tennis where you can see and it's like, wow. Table tennis is more, if you understand, it's like, wow. If you don't understand, it's probably like, I don't know what's going on, nothing special.
So hard to pick up the subtleties unless you actually played a lot yourself and you can see, oh, gee, that was a better shot than the uneducated person like myself or Jordan might think.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Would you say you're more an attacking player or defensive sort of player?
Definitely more attacking. So I try to stay close and try to be the one always attacking.
Do you have trouble at playing those defensive players that play with the pimple rubbers and that sort of thing? Or as part of your training, you just learn to cope with them as well as you do anyone else?
I try to cope with it like anyone else, but obviously, of course, I have trouble because there's not so many choppers or defensive players to practice with. But yeah, I'm definitely not the worst out there with regards to hating playing against chop.
What about someone like Sam Palmer, who we've had on the program before? Sam. We're a local player and a very
one
good
one
player.
One of our better ones for a while down there,
about
Sam.
To go off to South Korea, I think, on for a six-week training program. What does he have to do? Is he heading in the right direction, do you think, to be at your level? And if not, what would he have to do to get there?
Look, I think it's a tough situation for him because he works. He's a busy guy. But he's trying his hardest. He's doing the right thing. So yeah, hopefully he can do as well as best as he can.
Mm. Yep. And do you have any thoughts on what needs to be done to increase the profile of the sport and make it more popular in Australia?
I think more a lot of people have trouble to it's a hard sport to care for and be with someone long term for, but I think that's what the sport needs, and more additional sponsors, funding to get people in the sport.
It's a bit of a catch-22, isn't it?
It is.
Because they fund the sports that are popular.
Yeah.
And
But I guess the advantage that table tennis has that it is an Olympic sport. So the AIS actually provide money to Olympic sports. They give it in various levels because some are better at getting medals, like the sailors and such. But at least if you're on the Olympic horizon, you can get some money, because that was an issue, say, for something like baseball, which is in again, out again.
Yeah.
That made a difference to their funding, so they say they have to rely on contacts they have through Major League Baseball to get money for Australian baseball. So as long as they remain on the scene for Olympics and Commonwealth, there'll at least be some money. I take Kevin's point. You still need somebody who is the face of table tennis, who gets out in the media and gives it some nice publicity. Because the worst thing you're going to have, the worst possible scenario would be when we go to the Olympics in Rio, somebody who calls the game, who's a football commentator or something, and they trivialise it and start saying stupid things, and all you're watching it, you get a 5-minute burst and it's like a novelty.
Yeah.
You don't want that. You want somebody who's in there who can actually educate and encourage people to appreciate the game.
Yeah.
That's not always easy to get. It's also outside the control of Table Tennis Australia. Mm. It's something that it runs through Channel 7's veins.
That's
just a thought I've got on that.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I know Jens Leng came with a few ideas with his appointment with Table Tennis Australia. He came down to Mornington at one time and was talking about how it had to be a team sport, or rather than just club orientated. But then that's easier said than done as well, isn't it? But
absolutely, yeah.
It's a tough one.
It is a tough one. Yeah,
I think more obviously more people have. You know, obviously need a good commentator in the big game, so someone knows exactly what's going on.
Yep.
Sometimes you don't get that.
No.
Definitely you need more of a team spirit. And it's tough because it's an individual sport.
Yeah.
But at the same time, so is tennis. So it can be done. But I think it's very hard because as well in table tennis in Australia, I'm sure in other countries, in China and a lot of countries in Europe, they get very good funding.
Mm.
But there's no doubting that table tennis does not get the amount of Commonwealth or Olympic medals as something like swimming or another good sport. So,
on the plus side, though, it's one that's easy to play at home.
And everyone's played
it. Everyone's played it. You know, so many people have got a table tennis table and they've done that. It's a very simple one in that regard.
And just to finish, I guess, I must say that I did find Hemming's weakness when he very graciously played
score
a few points at the opening of the stadium. And it involved actually distracting him and saying, what's that, Hemming?
Pointing over there and playing a shot.
Yeah, I just served an ace and got a point off him. So I was very happy with that.
Mick's been using that tactic for many years. So.
Andrew Gazy tried to use the same one.
Yeah, that's right. He was there that day too.
Beautiful. Yeah. Look, Hemming, it's been absolutely fantastic talking to you. Good luck over the next month getting yourself ready, and then the training camp in Chile, and obviously the Olympics. And we'll be following you very eagerly here in the locker room. And we'll be putting our little interview here on the podcast so that you can hear it back, and then we'll be able to repeat it as the Olympics get a bit closer. But we really have appreciated you being with us here in the locker room, and again, all the best for the next couple of months.
Thanks very much, guys.